If you think that you're miles away from buying a home, you're probably dying to hear how somebody who felt like they were light years away from buying a home figured out how to do it. You want to hear a story that feels real, something that you can relate to, not some infomercial telling you about the couple with 500 credit scores, no jobs, and somehow they bought a house with no money down in just 1 month. Well, I got a story for you. This is the story of Devaney and Aaron. Play the music! Hey homies, a quick interruption before I start the episode because I have some majorly exciting news. The How to Buy a Home podcast and me, your host, David Sidoni, we're going on the road. Come and get your questions about home buying answered from me directly, live and in person. And our first stop is Dallas, Texas. Yeah, baby, it only took me 5 years, but the unicorns are finally bringing me out on the road, and I'm going to be live in Dallas on Monday, April 1st. And no, this is not an April Fool's joke. This is real. This is legit. I am literally, used correctly, coming to Dallas for a live event on Monday, April 1st. It's free, and there'll even be some refreshments out there, so you can save some money on dinner because I know you're all on a budget trying to save up for a down payment and closing costs. To get the information, email info@howtobuyahome.com, put Dallas in the subject. That's info, like information, info@howtobuyahome.com, put Dallas in the subject. We're taking the revolution to the people. It is time to discuss the new rules for how to buy a home in 2024. And guess what? I'm actually going to stick around in Dallas, and if you can't make it or you're not in Dallas, the next day, Tuesday, April 2nd, me and JT, who maybe you've heard in the background on the podcast, we're going to be doing a YouTube Live. So that's for everybody in North America the very next day, 6 p.m. Central Time, Tuesday, April 2nd. That's going to be on my YouTube channel at How to Buy a Home. Q&A live with me. If you've got questions about either one of these, email info@howtobuyahome.com for questions. Again, Monday, April 1st, live in person in Dallas. If you can't make that, the next night, Tuesday, April 2nd, Q&A on YouTube at How to Buy a Home. Come see me live in Dallas or online on YouTube, and let's talk about how you can do this. Email info@howtobuyahome.com. Okay, everybody, I'm really excited to bring this interview to you today. I've got some very exciting people here. This is Devaney and Aaron, and they're in Florida. And when they first came to me, you would think that perhaps they couldn't buy a home. It was February of 2022 when they came to me. And a year later, like I say, you can do this. So hi, guys. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
Very excited to have you guys here. Now, you guys just closed in March of 2023, correct?
Yes. Yeah. End of March.
And how are you guys doing? Are you enjoying your new home?
It's good so far.
Yeah, very much so.
Still got a couple boxes, but the majority is put away.
That's awesome. The fact that you only have a couple boxes left, I'm very impressed with. We're 2 years in our place and I have tons. So why don't you guys tell us right off the bat, you guys took a year to do your planning on this. What's your best piece of advice for people out there that want to be homeowners like you guys?
For me, the first thing I would say is patience and persistence. Make sure you take your time and wait for it to feel right. Don't feel pressured into doing anything that you're not comfortable with. Don't try to get into something early because you want to buy a house. Be patient and wait for the right house to come around because it will. You'll find the right Goldilocks house and everything will fall into place the way that it's supposed to.
Yeah, we probably would have bought a house maybe 2 or 3 months sooner. We liked the house, but we felt something wasn't right. We kind of had this nervous feeling. So we waited and we're glad we did. So we're now in our place and we love it.
Goldilocks. I like that a lot. That's really cool. So in the patience and persistence, was that something that you used in the beginning when you were getting ready? Or was that at the end when you were trying to figure out which home you wanted to buy? Or was it both?
It was a little bit of both. We definitely didn't want to rush into looking at every single house on the market and taking time off and feeling just overwhelmed with it. We wanted to kind of go at our own pace and, again, let it fall together the way it was supposed to. Once it came down to actually finding the house, we really had the idea of if it sells before we're ready on it, it wasn't meant for us.
Yeah.
Again, it will be there when it's our time and it'll feel right.
Yeah. We really chipped away slowly since February of 2022. Our unicorn realtor really helped us out with, you know, like, first, like, you know, let's look at your credit. Let's see where you're at. Let's go here next. So it was a little bit first the credit and getting that down and then seeing how much of a down payment we'd like to put down. And from there, it all fell into place very slowly, but it felt right.
And we looked through several different communities and at several different styles and ages of homes before we settled on the one that we're in, which is at first we thought was going to be a little further outside of both our price range and where we wanted to commute from. But again, just the way that it all fell together and at the time that we were able to make the purchase, we were both doing a little bit better financially than we were a year prior.
Yeah.
And again, that's kind of where that patience and persistence comes into play. You might not be dead set ready to go this minute, but if you play your cards right and you make smart choices with your money, you'll be able to come out ahead and do what you want. Might not be a tomorrow thing, but it's definitely doable.
I love that, Aaron. And I tell people all the time, I don't say you can do this today, or I don't even say you can do this tomorrow. A lot of times, I feel like a lot of buyers just think it's a yes or no answer. They call a lender, they call a realtor, and it's a yes or no. Like, oh, I want to live here. Can I buy a house? No. Okay, well then, see ya, I'll talk to you in a year. By having that guidance, like what you guys did, I mean, that was incredible. I think when you guys came to me, you had like a couple thousand dollars saved and credit scores that what we call fair in the world of credit score, which means you still totally could have bought a house. You would have been approved. You just might not have had a down payment and you would have had a higher interest rate and maybe not the right program. One of the things that I try to stress to people, and the reason why I wanted to talk to you guys, and thank you so much for doing this, I appreciate it, is that even with a couple thousand dollars in the bank, an okay credit score, and a year ahead of time, it's so much easier to work on your own. People think that you have to you instantly fill out the loan approval that weekend. Talk to me about what you guys did a year ago with the credit and the savings and the debt. Did you guys have any tricks? Did you do spreadsheets? I had an interview this morning. She said her and her husband have a monthly meeting. I went, wow, will you Zoom me in? I want to see how this goes. They told me the one that they do once a year is really hard, and that's the one they drink at. So what did you guys do? Because it's not just, I talk to a realtor now because I want to buy a house. You talked to your unicorn, and that unicorn helped you with a year's worth of planning. What kind of stuff did you do?
I think we each had our own different things. I know you have your credit cards on like a monthly.
Right.
Auto pays itself.
Just keeping everything paying down and staying on top of car payments, making sure that just nothing was late. Automatic payments set up, get it going so that there's no room for error. And on your side, we started revolving your credit a lot more. We started using your card, paying it off,
We definitely use my card a lot. But I get paid biweekly. So every single time I got paid, money was going towards the credit cards. So I was paying off my credit cards twice a month to make sure I met the deadline. So I was never late on payments because I was making payments twice. So
was that one of the things that upped your score because you were just consistent? Or was it because you were paying it down and getting more credit available?
A little bit of both. Staying consistent and on-time payments. I just got a notification of another anniversary of on-time payments for my car loan and how that's affecting my credit score positively. It all adds up. And that's the thing. It's not necessarily that there's one big trick. It's figuring out how to do all the little things and make them add together. And again, that's where guidance helps and planning and taking the time to really think it out and know what the right step is to be where you want to be a year from now.
I just wrote that down. Oh my gosh, it's not one trick. It's not an app. It's not one button. And I'm sorry, I love all my listeners out there. You have to do like 20 things at once.
Absolutely. There's no other way.
But you hit it on the head. Automate, automate, automate. Like, I want to get t-shirts that just say automate. In today's world, for as much as the Gen Zs and millennials are getting stuck behind the eight ball trying to figure out how to buy a home, you have tools that the boomers never had.
And it's there for you. It's free. You have to just take advantage of it.
Yeah. Now, DeVay, were you paying down a credit card that was like at a high balance, or were you using it and paying it off and using it and paying it off?
Using it and paying it off.
And so that is a technique. I've heard different things from different people, but it is a technique that helps build your credit. I tell people all the time, if you have a credit card and people pay it down to zero and then they keep it there and they're all stoked that they never have to use it, after 6 months, it stops reporting to the credit bureau. So using that technique was great. What about savings tips? Don't tell me that you guys just ate ramen because everyone knows how to do that.
It was at a time where going to the grocery store was not quite as expensive as it is today. We ate it quite a bit more. We didn't go out anywhere near as often. If we did, it was extremely local. With the type of job that I work in the service industry. So picking up shifts was very easy to do, especially working at two different places. I could work 6 days a week and no one would turn me away for overtime or anything like that. And both of us working in restaurants, we also were able to get fed that way and save money.
Don't have to buy lunch when you have lunch at work.
And at the end of the day, you know, I know that's very situationally specific, but I would say it's just a matter of using what you have to your advantage. I mean, we're able to save money by eating at work. We're going to do that. If you're able to save money by doing anything else, commuting to work via bike or a bus or what have you, take advantage of that. It's finding the ways to save the money. It's not explicitly the one or two. It's back to what we said. It's all the little things adding up.
Yeah. We tried not to like sacrifice something small that got us through the week. Like, oh, on Wednesdays, I usually get a cup of coffee. Or like, oh, you know, this week I am going to buy my favorite ice cream. Every once in a while, it's fine. And, you know, makes me happy.
So. And other things that were smaller, we did want to still be able to go out once a week. So we would go to the movie theater on Tuesdays. That's where they had the discounted tickets. You can still do what you want to do. It's just being smart about how you do it.
I was just talking with my wife about this morning. So many things, whether it's health and fitness, dieting, or budgeting, they stress the sacrifice. And they stress taking things away from you. And if you have a different goal in mind, it's easier for yourself. If you are depriving yourself of something, that's such a terrible language and mindset. Where if you say, I'm choosing not for this week, and I'm here on my bike right now saving gas, because I'd like to have a home. That's helpful. But then the other tip that I think you said was great was don't deprive yourself joy. The line on that is very hard. And my wife says that apparently with my sneaker collection, I've gone way too far in my own joy. But it was after I had a few other things established first. Okay, talk to me about this. Because as a performer in my 20s, I had quite a few years in the service industry myself. All those working actors who are the servers. So you both work in the restaurant industry?
Yes. Yeah. I work on the managerial side of things. He works on the service side. He's the face you see.
But it's really interesting to me because, I mean, I understand what you were talking about picking up shifts, but talk to me about the loan process as people who work in the service industry, because a lot of people think they can't even start talking to anybody about it because they're not working in a cubicle.
Now, I'll be upfront. Good portion of our savings did come from a windfall. I suffered a loss in my life. My mother passed away. But at the same time, just coming into some money, not enough money to buy a house, was not going to really change our position. So that's where, all right, we're going to dig in our heels. We're going to work, because having the proof of income and having all of that backed up, that's where they really were very quick to go with us on the loan process.
Yeah, I don't think
it wasn't just a matter of you have the money. It's a matter of you're making this much money every month between the two of you. You can afford this house.
100%. I mean, I can tell you this. I've worked with people all the time. They get a big inheritance. They call me and say, I'm ready to buy a home. And like, it doesn't work like that. It's not how much money you have. It's how much money can you prove you're going to make. So that's why I was curious to ask, as service industry people, you still not a 9-to-5-er, you were still able to get the loan. So did you both apply on the loan together?
Absolutely.
We did, yeah. We did ask if we could do it all under me. The income was far better with both of us on it than it was with just me. So we went with both.
So Aaron, that's awesome, because I know a lot of families where like one partner is an entrepreneur and they make good money, but the other person is a W-2 employee and they've ended up using just the W-2. So I'm really curious about this. Your service industry, as you were doing what you were doing, Aaron, you had enough history? Was it enough tax history? What did you have enough to show to prove your income?
One of my jobs is a resort. It is resort style. I've been there for 7 years. They've taken great care of me and I make excellent money there. My other job happens to be at one of the major theme parks in Orlando. Tourism, always busy, always making money, always high, high ticket price items on the bill. So between the two of those, I mean, they almost said Universal alone was going to be good on the loan. Having everything else from the other job, the 7 years is what helped beyond that, the history with that. But the fact that I had been with Universal for almost 2 years, that was a really big help as well.
Okay. Side note, DeVay, I'm pissed at you because it took my Orlando trip last. Did you not see in my postings? We were there between Christmas and New Year's.
Oh,
I'm so upset.
It's the busiest time to visit Orlando.
It is busy. I must have been so tired. I just didn't even notice.
It's okay.
And those are the weeks that we're each pulling 60 hours in our restaurants.
Well, we did have a friend that hooked us up at Disney. I paid for everything ahead of time. We had a buddy who got us the VIP tour at Disney. He was a Club 33 guy, fancy schmancy. Our last day was at Universal, and me and my son freaked out. It was so awesome. So Velocicoaster blew my mind.
Next time when you guys spend more time at Universal, you'll have to let us know.
Yeah.
See what we can do.
I have to do that because a long time ago, back in 1992, I worked on that lot, but that's a whole nother story.
I'm in the process. I just auditioned last night for the RIP tours for Halloween Horror Nights. So it's there.
So exciting. So what's cool about this is what I'm trying to make sure that the listeners understand is a lot of jobs, even like you're talking about picking up extra shifts to someone else who has a regular job where there isn't another shift available, substitute that for a side hustle.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, I work two jobs.
Yeah, exactly. And if you work them long enough and consistently and you keep decent enough books for yourself, and if you most importantly make sure that, you know, everyone has these side hustles and they don't report it on their taxes, I'm like, awesome. But the lender's like, well, where did you get that money? That might as well just be money that your uncle gave you and you shoved in your bank account.
Right.
And that's one of the things I got lucky with too, is both of my locations are very by the book and strict on reporting taxes. So everything I had a very good long history of.
That is amazing. I am so blown away by this. I mean, people come to me all the time and they think they're not even in a place. So you started this process. How much time was spent talking with Crystal, the unicorn realtor, and talking with the lender? Did you guys get action steps and just work your way towards it?
A lot of it was spent with Crystal. We didn't talk to the lender until we were a little bit closer to the time that we were actually looking to like pull our credit and see from there. We did end up pulling our credit just so we could see where are we at now? What do we need to work on? You know, he gave Aaron a couple pointers. I asked a whole bunch of questions. I have a personal loan out. So like, how is that affecting me? Should I pay it off faster? So they were really helpful with answering all those questions that randomly pops into my head. I'm texting Crystal at like 10 o'clock at night. Like, hey, sorry, it's late.
I tell people all the time, text me if I don't answer, I'm sleeping, but I will answer when I wake up. Like, don't not text. It's just a to-do list for me when I wake up. So it's awesome. We're getting ready here because of buyers like you. We're getting ready to put together this program called The Last Lease Ever that we're going to be helping people with, that gives them that. People think the internet tells you, oh, you want to buy a home? Okay, cool. Fill this out and we'll see if you're approved for a loan. You guys just said it. There's a bunch you can do before that. You don't even have to go into your loan approval. So once you got into that and you got moving forward, you were building on that savings that you had. And talk to me about the community thing. That was really interesting to me. You were patient and persistent, but you were also doing your research. Did you end up in a community you had never thought of before?
Yeah. In fact, I don't even know that there were many houses built in this community when we started looking. I know this house hadn't been built yet.
No, I found the community randomly. I found it and I sent it to Crystal. I'm like, hey, I know I didn't say I was interested in new builds, but what are your thoughts on this area? And she really asked my opinion of it, like, well, how much do you know about the area? You know, I have a couple friends who live out here. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I do. And so I drove past the neighborhood a couple times, just more to simulate how it would be like to commute to work from the neighborhood. See, what's the drive like? How's traffic? Is it really bad? But yeah, but traffic's gotten better since we moved in because all this construction going on. So, hey, it got better.
Oh, that's a good one. I just thought of this right now while you said this. My wife and I are using this trick all the time. We'll do the Google Maps. But if there's someplace we really don't know, she does the Google Map at the time we're going to drive in a week. She does it like 3 times at 5 o'clock at night just to see how it's going to be like to drive through LA or wherever we're going.
In rush hour.
Yeah. I think a lot of people think that they get so excited about the process and like the realtor's going to tell me exactly where to live. And I'm like, I don't know anything about what you want for your life. And then even if you tell me like, hey, just doesn't matter if I feel like I could live in that community, it's you guys. So what were the factors about this community you liked?
Proximity. It's in a really good spot for both of my jobs and her job as well. We liked that it was new construction and that there's still a lot of wilderness preservation around, and it's close to a small town downtown area, which is what we both kind of come from for the last 4 years. We've been living in a really small downtown area, and just having that sense of community has always been really nice. I also just like that it is a new build. For what we are spending, it was so comparable to anything else on the market, and I feel like we're getting so much more out of it.
Yeah, it has a good balance of getting to work in a good amount of time, but also far enough away from the theme parks that it's quiet.
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely set back just enough.
Just enough.
It's very interesting because a lot of people are talking to me about that just outside is the term. We're just outside this area. We're just outside that area. And people are talking to me in the terms of remote working. And I've now had a few people like you that are talking to me in the terms of for 10 minutes a commute, extra every day, 15 minutes every day, totally worth it because I work and hustle and bustle and I'm down with, that's a cool thing about where you guys are in Florida, like the wilderness, you just have to go a little bit outside the standard suburban track to get just tons of greenery and space. This is amazing. It's such an incredible, inspirational story. Now, when you started in 2022, Aaron, you sound like someone who really had, you understood, did you know you had to be patient and expect it? Or did you learn that along the way? Did you want to buy, let's see, in like March of 2022?
He was on slowing me down.
She wants to say I procrastinate, but I was very patient about it. And I feel like she was so gung-ho, ready to jump on it. And I'm like, we need to hold our horses, pump the brakes a little bit here. If we had gone with your initial gut, we'd be in a fixer-upper.
Yeah.
And miserable.
Yeah, I was like, if I'm not moved out of this place and in a new house by January 2023, I am couch surfing with friends. I'm not staying here another minute. And he's like, okay, give me a little bit more than time than that. We will find it. I promise we will. And you were right. So.
Well, now the interesting thing about that is, too, like you're going to look back in years. We've had one little slump in the past 10 years besides the pandemic. And by waiting, you guys ended up right in there and you've seen appreciation since you moved in because it kind of slowed down there at the end of last year.
And that was something I was kind of noticing, too, was as it was slowing down, you could probably agree. I was getting more and more gung ho about, all right, let's keep looking. Let's find it. Mm-hmm. The closer we got to this, I was more into it. And that was as that slump was really hitting.
Well, that is genius, sir. Warren Buffett talks about, sorry, DeVay, I just made a monster for you now to have to deal with.
I was right.
There are truths on both sides. When you are a first-time home buyer, most of the time, if you're like you guys and you're working, you have stable jobs, and like you found out, In 2022, the pay changes that happened, you're young, you're going to increase and make more money. I try to tell people all the time, like, I'm not speculating. I'm not trying to get you into this right now to make a sale, but I'm saying you're young, you're going to make more money. And the sooner you lock in to a 30-year fixed rate, I guarantee you rents are going up next year. But by having that understanding and that patience of building and the adjustments you made to your credit score probably meant that if home prices had gone up 5 or 10%, you could probably still buy that home, if not more, because your approval was so much better than when you started in the first time. And that's what makes the whole buying process something that I wish more people would understand what you did and have that yin and yang. Usually turns out there's one person pushing and the other person saying, hang on. And then you find that perfect balance.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what happened. We really balanced each other out and ended up in the right spot at the right time.
How was the new build buying process for you? People ask me about that. Should I buy new? I think in areas where there's more space, you have a better chance with a new build. How'd it work out for you guys?
I was so nervous. My older sister, they bought a home that was a new build and they've had nothing but issues. Nothing's working. All the sinks leaked. Her door didn't shut. The list just get builds and builds. The longer they're in the home, the more problems they find. And I was like, oh my God, like I really, Crystal, I don't want a new build home. But then we found this and I'm like, okay, maybe I will. It's different builders, so I can't judge them all based on one.
And doing a little research, we saw good things about the builder.
We did, yeah. So you know,
it wasn't, they weren't getting the same negative reviews as some of the different ones in the area. Honestly, once we were set on buying it, the process was actually very enjoyable. We met with the builder, did a walkthrough of the house, and basically any little thing that we had even the slightest dislike of, put a piece of tape on it, they'll fix it.
I didn't know that was a thing until we were there. And he's like, here's your tape. And I'm like, what do you mean? What tape?
Isn't it funny? Like, they'll walk up to you and they hand you, was it blue?
Blue and green.
Blue and green.
One was for plywood and one was for paint. Like if there was a nick in the cabinet, it got one color. And if there was a paint smear or anything, it got a different color.
Yeah.
I swear, I want to have a class for the builders to explain to them, like, you need to make a bigger deal about this tape because it's blue tape. I'm like, you need to have like a roll of it sitting on the table when you walk into the office and say, oh, by the way, you get this magic blue tape before we give you the keys. And you walk around and you mark everything that you want us to make perfect. And then most of the time, I'm assuming you guys have a warranty for a year from the builder, yes?
Yes, we do.
Had you use it yet? It's been a few months.
No, we have like a list of minor things that we're like, hey, we'll probably tell them about this by the end of the year. But nothing has been major that we're like, oh my gosh, you have to come fix this right now.
Basically, if it's not something that we can fix in 10 minutes by grabbing the bag of tools out of the garage, we're going to call them. If there is an issue, it's been so minor that it's been, oh, tighten that real quick.
Yeah, pretty much. So thankfully, we've been lucky.
Put a reminder in your calendar, let's see, for February of 2024 to go around and check everything that you haven't opened or whatever, because then you got a month left and you can call them once and they come out and finish everything up for you. Okay, I'm going to ask the question because everyone freaks out about this. New home, do you have an HOA?
Yeah.
Were you okay with putting that payment into your full monthly payment?
It's only $50 a month.
Yeah, it comes out to $50 a month. You do have to pay it in like 3 month installments.
Yeah, it's like 3 month quarterly increments.
So it wasn't horrible. I did have to call Crystal and ask a bajillion questions about that. And we have a CDD too. So I'm like, what is that? What's going on? I'm looking at the initial payment we made and I'm going line by line of, okay, what's this? All right. And the next line, what does that mean? Why are they charging me money for this? So she had a lot of good explaining to do.
As I tell people all the time, the thing about the unicorns is once you're working with them and you've been through the explaining process, when you, the unicorn knows that if you tell somebody else about them, that they might call you first and go, hey, what is all this stuff? And then you go, call Crystal. I just had the same question. And then it's totally taken care of. I've been doing this 17 years now. Do you know how many times I've answered the same question? It's like I said, the blue tape. I've known for years it's such a cool thing. Yeah, the stats are like, it's something like 60 or 70% of all homes right now have some sort of HOA, because either the city is bringing it in or, and that's just the way it's going to go. Well, then it's been a long year for you guys getting ready for this. How do you feel now that you're settled in? Do you emotionally feel like you've taken the next step in your life?
It's finally starting to feel like the home. Yeah, we really are starting to settle in and feel like we've gotten over the hurdle. And now it's, what's the next journey going to be? We're starting to have our footing and feel really comfortable with the finances of it and knowing what we want to do as far as any improvements or changes to the house. And we figured out how to prioritize how we want to do that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, at this point, we really are starting to feel, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, the first 2 weeks, it felt like a vacation. We were like living out of a suitcase, like, oh, where's my work shirt? Or where is this shirt? Oh, it's in one of the suitcases somewhere. And you'd get home and you'd go into like the main bathroom. You'd be like, oh, this bathroom is so luxurious and nice. And then you remember, oh, wait, this is mine. Yeah. This is my shower with the thermostat on the wall. So yeah, from that point, it was like a big sigh of relief. Like, oh my gosh, like I feel like comfortable here and safe here. And it's a nice feeling.
Again, I can't believe all these things. It's over 200 episodes now and all the things I'm learning. DeVay, you just told me something that I've never thought about before that I'm going to start telling everybody. Don't move in right away. Just pack like you're going on vacation. And act like for the first week or two, just act like put everything in a storage and just hang out.
Yeah, we had a big, big gap. We had a whole month of, we closed at the beginning of the month, but our rent wasn't up until the end of the month. So we had a big whole month. It felt like it wasn't enough time because we were still scrambling at the end. Like, oh my gosh, we forgot about the stuff in the attic. So we had to go back and get the stuff.
Yeah. My biggest piece of advice would be, especially if you do a storage unit or anything, hire movers.
Yeah, yeah.
Downsize and hire movers.
And if you think you have enough boxes, you really don't. Get more boxes.
When people come down to the nitty gritty at the very end of it, and they're starting to figure everything out, and like suddenly they're talking about, oh, we have enough extra that we can buy this awesome $4,000 bed set that we saw. I'm like, maybe just put it on the floor for a while and hire movers. Just a thought, you know, because I hear it more and more that people like you figured out, oh my gosh, that would have been great. But that was a great piece of advice that you gave people, that even a month crossover sometimes, I always tell people, do the crossover. But even the month, you still felt like there was more time that you could have used.
Yeah, we didn't take time off to move. We did it on our days off or, you know, oh, on my way to work, I'll take a couple boxes in the car and quickly drop them off. And yeah, we should have taken more time off or hiring movers or something. Because at the end, we were really scrambling.
And on the back end, we were taking time off to try and make up for it as well.
Yeah, but that's another great real world piece of advice. The move, just like planning, is a bunch of little things. So you have to set up your plan. Am I going to take a week off and tackle it like a gigantic project? Or do we want to try and do it in little pieces? That's amazing. So, well, I cannot believe it. I love the fact that when you talked to me originally, you were renting for under $1,000 with a few thousand bucks savings. You took 2 years and now you're living in a over $300,000 home in Florida. That is so exciting. And I love that just because you're moved in, you can still look in your bathroom around every once in a while and still pinch yourself. That's exciting. You deserve it.
Every time it's clean.
Well, I'll tell you what, you guys keep getting used to this new financial situation. And then maybe next year, you sit down and you go through the budget and you figure out how to get a housekeeper once a month. Could be.
Yeah. We have someone cutting our lawn. I found someone in the neighborhood to cut our lawn.
Oh, pro tip number one. Hey, I'm videotaping part of this. Videotaping. Hi, old man. I'm looking in the camera right now. But for those of you online, just listening in your ears, listen up. I say this. The best way to get a landscaper once you own a home is to ask the neighbors. I know everybody loves Yelp and reviews and all that. We all figure out everything in life. It's different. Pool guys and landscapers will give you great deals if they don't have to drive their truck to another neighborhood. If you're another stop on their route, it's biggest tip I give. I mean, I'll do it for people in Southern California here with like $3 million homes. They're like, who's the best gardener here in Newport Beach? I'm like, ask your neighbor. That's how you get the cheap one. Because he's like, oh, I could do 2 for 1. Boom, boom. So,
yeah, they already made a Facebook group. So we joined the group so we can ask questions about what's going on in the neighborhood or stuff like that. That's how I found the guy to mow our lawns.
Not to mention with landscaping, if they're in your neighborhood, you're asking your neighbors, you have a firsthand view of the product that you would be getting, the service. Oh, yeah. You know what work they do.
Yeah, it's not like a restaurant review. They ate it. They tell you it's great. And you're like, ooh, gross. You can look at it. It's right there.
Mm-hmm. The picture can look better than it does in person, for sure.
Yeah. Well, then I will leave you with this last piece of advice. Do me a favor on the Facebook group. Please just be the person who posts nice thing and positive things so it doesn't turn into next door. That's all I want.
Oh, yeah.
Those groups are great for new communities because neighbors get to help each other out. And nowadays that people just drive into their garage and close the door behind them, you're not talking. So do yourself a favor. We're coming up on 4th of July as we record this right now. A walk around and see what people are doing on 4th of July. You never know. In the new communities, a lot of times they'll have the parties where the kids put like sparklers on the back of their bikes and ride around. I don't know if I should legally say that on a podcast because that's probably not safe. But I'm not liable. They're not my kids. So
you're not encouraging it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is truly, truly inspirational. I hope that people are listening to this and understanding that you don't have to do this on your own. And if you think it's going to take yourself a year, great. As Aaron said, stay with the patience and persistence, but get a guide. You'll get there so much faster. So thank you guys so much. I really appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks,
thank
David.
You, David.
Man, what a great interview. You know, I have a few items that I want to reiterate because they are such good. You can do this stuff. But let me start by hitting one of the pieces they hit kind of at the end there. Yes, the best way to get the best deal on a lawn guy, a flower guy, a pool guy is ask the neighbors, not the internet. Ask the neighbors. The dudes who are going to do it for cheap, they don't have websites. Okay, now let me hit you the highlights. I'm going to put them back in your ear holes one more time so you remember these. One of the lessons they learned is that when you're reaching out to a realtor or a lender, that they really change their mindset. For some of you who are reaching out for the first time, you're not seeking a yes or no answer when you reach out. Once again, if you're reaching out and you are pretty darn sure that it's going to be a plan in mind, you're not seeking a yes or no answer when you reach out to a professional. And any good realtor or lender or unicorn support team, we know that coming in. It's not a pass or fail conversation. It's episode 164. Where are you on the chutes and ladder board? And let's set you up. It's not just a matter of, can you do this right now? It's when should you do it? And what are the steps to get there? Now, this is great. These two reached out in what, February 2022, and they closed in March of 2023. And like they said, they walked out of that first meeting realizing that they were going actually kind of opposite speeds. So they had to adjust to each other a little bit. Aaron pulled the reins back on Devaney, but together she pushed him a little bit and they learned about the markets, the neighborhoods. And eventually, as they were planning and researching and saving together, the picture became much more clear for them. If you do it this way, you're going to discover what you really want while you're working out all those little pieces at the same time, while you're working on the finances and while you're discovering and researching the neighborhoods. And then if you do all that at the same time together, when you finally get to the place that you're ready to go, you're going to have the most options and be able to make the most informed decision. The unicorn support team that they met at the beginning, they didn't give them a yes or a no, let's go look at houses or call me in 6 months. They gave them a roadmap. Starting with the big three, credit scores, debt management, and a savings plan. Aaron said patience and persistence was the big thing he learned from. What did he say? Don't look for the perfect Goldilocks house. Play your cards right. Make the right choices, and you're going to have more options. He said, it might not be tomorrow, but when you're ready. He definitely was someone who didn't want to rush out there and wanted to go at his own pace. Now, along the way, while Devaney was kind of appeasing him a little bit and letting him go through everything that he needed to do to make sure he was comfortable, they realized that, thank goodness, they had talked to a personal mortgage broker instead of using one of those huge, giant online loan factories. Because they were getting phone calls and conversations happening at all hours, and the unicorn lender was absolutely willing to help them with the year-long planning, the action steps. Helped them figure out when to pull credit, when not to pull credit, hard pull, soft pull, and giving them the real action steps along the way to make it possible. Again, it's not a yes or no. You need someone available to you along the way to give you guidance and help you figure out the 3-month action steps, the 6-month action steps. Their goal is to make you look borrower ready to the banks who are going to loan you the money to buy a home. And they did it right. Trying not to tackle all the big issues at once. One of the things they said that I thought was really good, it's really hard if you go, okay, I've got these three big things to deal with. I've got to take care of my credit, and I've got to take care of my learning this neighborhood, and then I've got to figure out what's going on with my 401k. Well, if you just do one at a time, that can really slow down your process. They learned it's not one big trick at a time. It's all the little things that you do working simultaneously. This is not easy to do on your own, so realize that the guidance and the advocacy of a good support team is going to help you with the planning, and what they're going to do is they're going to set you up with multiple little action steps, multiple little things you can do, and if it does take a year, it takes a year, but when you get there, everything's going to be prepared, and you are going to be the best prepared buyer that you can be. I thought it was a couple that had some great how-to tips, automating their savings, figuring out how to use revolving credit to use it, pay it off twice a month, she said, because that worked with their particular payment schedule. And they work in the service industry in restaurants. Free lunch. I don't know if you can get a free lunch where you work, but use that story to understand that we all have different advantages somewhere, so use them to try to save money. They do the discount movie night. They work the plan with a goal in mind. And they didn't have a scarcity mentality or a depriving themselves mindset, but rather they had the thought process of abundance because they had a passion and a goal. And that was ultimately going to be their big reward in mind. But one of the great things I really liked is if it's going to take you a year and you're going to be budgeting and doing all these little tricks to save money, don't deprive yourself. Take moments and reward the little things that you're doing along the way. What did Aaron say? Don't deprive yourself of joy. I tell people all the time, hey, if you've got goals on your credit, your debt, and your savings, celebrate when you go 10 points up on your score, right? Celebrate when you finally get a credit card below 30% usage. Celebrate if you've got to save 8% for your down payment or closing costs, and that's, let's just say, $20,000. When you hit $10,000, you better go out to dinner and be happy and celebrate. Otherwise, that's going to be a long, tough year. Another great thing I thought was exciting was it's good to hear about a non-9-to-5 couple that still got a bank to approve them to buy a home. They're in the service industry, an industry that lots of times doesn't look good on paper. But again, they figured out what to do with it. He actually picked up extra shifts. Now, if you can't pick up extra shifts at your job, then maybe you find a side hustle. And after all that work and all that research, with the help of their professional support team, who was there with them the whole way from day one, they realized, we've been doing all this research, I think that a new build is best for us, which is a great time for me to give you a quick disclaimer. Hey, if you're new to the podcast, and maybe even some of you homies, maybe you haven't heard this, there's going to be new homes on the market for you. Builders are sneaky and trying to screw you. This is a giant, giant truth bomb that you need to know about. Builders are sneaky. They're trying to have you buy a home without your own representation. And most of them, you could totally do it if you just knew about this one little trick. When you go to a new build site or you sign up for an email, they register you. And that registration, the fine print, says you cannot have a representative. So do not go to a new build site on your own just to looky-loo and look around. Do not sign up for emails to get updates from the new build site in your area. Do not. You will not be able to have representation. And as you heard from them, did you hear how their unicorn at the closing table with the builder? Even though the unicorn was sitting right there, the builder still tried to put stuff past them. And the unicorn, as their advocate, stopped it and made sure they were getting the right deal. The builders don't care. They're in and they're out. But they've got this little trick where if you show up and you sign up or you sign up with an email, the fine print says you cannot have a representative. So make sure that you talk to a unicorn team first. Don't go out looky-looing on your own. And this is for real. I've seen many people get screwed on this one. They're driving by and we'll call the lender and the realtor in a few weeks, but let's just see what some of the houses look like. You go in, they make you fill out a form. Once you fill out that form, boom, you're theirs. I'm so stoked that they found the podcast. They got to do this right with help the unicorn support team, helping and willing to work with them from the very beginning, working for an entire year. You guys realize that the lender and the realtor don't get paid until the house closes. Yeah, that's why I call these people unicorns. They're the real deal when it comes to customer service. They're playing it for the long game. And I love that Aaron and Devaney figured out that they wanted to move slowly. And they wanted to figure out what they wanted to do. Even when they moved in, they still wanted to move slowly. That was cool. That's where Devaney said, because he didn't have a lot of stuff in there. She felt like she was on vacation, got up, went to her big shower and her big bathroom. And then, oh my God, I'm not on vacation. This is mine. And then Aaron, at the end of the interview there, he said, this is great. Things are going fantastic. What's the next journey going to be? Well, I want you to say that to me someday. You don't have to say it on the podcast. Don't be scared. You don't have to do it in an interview, but maybe I want you to think it. What's my next journey going to be? But to do that, we have to do your first journey. So go to howtobuyahome.com. Check out all the free stuff to help you. We've helped thousands of people through this journey. And it's all there and it's all free. So jump on. And if you're thinking like maybe, you know, I'm 6 months out or a year out, cool. It's a good time to get a unicorn support team. And they can guide you down the path. Because you know what? You can do this.